Вариант 23.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
I never read books, probably out of sheer laziness. I just don't have the mindset for sitting down and reading a book. It's so much easier to watch a movie if one is made about the book, or just use your imagination. Besides, I usually have so many other things to do, like homework or shopping. I guess the main reason why I detest reading is that my eyes get tired easily. Books often have very small print, which is really annoying. If I have to read, I will choose some electronic device where I can enlarge the print.
Speaker B.
Actually, I love reading. It's much better to read than to think about my everyday problems. To me, it feels like an escape from the real world. It just takes me away to the place I want to be and relaxes me. I especially enjoy science fiction books, although I never seem to finish them. I don't know whether it's because I have so much work to do, or maybe it's just because there's always someone around. Every time I sit down to read a book, everyone bothers me. I own so many books, I haven't even read half of them.
Speaker C.
A book is a fantastic daydream that we're allowed to participate in. When I read stories, it's like I'm visiting another place. Reading gives me new ideas to ponder or ways to think more deeply about old ideas. Sometimes, I go over stories and characters in my mind. It often gives me a new perspective. Reading allows me to meet new people and gives a view of cultures different from mine. It permits me to travel to places I've never been and allows me to live in either a real or imaginary world. Overall, it's a very pleasant and enjoyable way to spend time.
Speaker D.
I absolutely enjoy reading. I especially love reading fantasy because it takes me away from reality and into another world. Reading is my favorite pastime, and it will probably never change. I read very quickly, and I can read a whole book in a day. I'm surrounded by over 5,000 books and 1,000 magazines. I can't help discovering the mysteries hidden in them. One of the books I'm reading now is The History of South America. Now I see that things happening there today are the same kind of things that have happened over the last 200 years.
Speaker E.
I am really into video games. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a computer geek by any terms, but it's just what I like doing. I like reading about them, buying them, and spending most of my time playing them. I've always liked reading, but lately I don't spend much time doing it. I got Cell by Stephen King as a gift for Christmas, and I really enjoyed it. I actually want to sit down and read a good book. The problem is, I rarely find books like this one. I'd like to be as obsessed with books as I am with video games.
Speaker F.
I think some people don't like reading because nowadays everything is so easy for them. They have computers, iPods, MP3 players, and stuff like that. So they tend to forget the simple pleasure of reading a good book. As for me, there's nothing better than sitting in an armchair with a book in my hands, enjoying pictures and feeling the smell of paper. Electronic books are convenient, but they lack presentation. My preference is for a paper book. I can throw it in my backpack, don't have to worry about batteries or power sources, and it's generally better for my eyes.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
I never read books, probably out of sheer laziness. I just don't have the mindset for sitting down and reading a book. It's so much easier to watch a movie if one is made about the book, or just use your imagination. Besides, I usually have so many other things to do, like homework or shopping. I guess the main reason why I detest reading is that my eyes get tired easily. Books often have very small print, which is really annoying. If I have to read, I will choose some electronic device where I can enlarge the print.
Speaker B.
Actually, I love reading. It's much better to read than to think about my everyday problems. To me, it feels like an escape from the real world. It just takes me away to the place I want to be and relaxes me. I especially enjoy science fiction books, although I never seem to finish them. I don't know whether it's because I have so much work to do, or maybe it's just because there's always someone around. Every time I sit down to read a book, everyone bothers me. I own so many books, I haven't even read half of them.
Speaker C.
A book is a fantastic daydream that we're allowed to participate in. When I read stories, it's like I'm visiting another place. Reading gives me new ideas to ponder or ways to think more deeply about old ideas. Sometimes, I go over stories and characters in my mind. It often gives me a new perspective. Reading allows me to meet new people and gives a view of cultures different from mine. It permits me to travel to places I've never been and allows me to live in either a real or imaginary world. Overall, it's a very pleasant and enjoyable way to spend time.
Speaker D.
I absolutely enjoy reading. I especially love reading fantasy because it takes me away from reality and into another world. Reading is my favorite pastime, and it will probably never change. I read very quickly, and I can read a whole book in a day. I'm surrounded by over 5,000 books and 1,000 magazines. I can't help discovering the mysteries hidden in them. One of the books I'm reading now is The History of South America. Now, I see that things happening there today are the same kind of things that have happened over the last 200 years.
Speaker E.
I am really into video games. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a computer geek by any terms, but it's just what I like doing. I like reading about them, buying them, and spending most of my time playing them. I've always liked reading, but lately I don't spend much time doing it. I got Cell by Stephen King as a gift for Christmas, and I really enjoyed it. I actually want to sit down and read a good book. The problem is, I rarely find books like this one. I'd like to be as obsessed with books as I am with video games.
Speaker F.
I think some people don't like reading because nowadays everything is so easy for them. They have computers, iPods, MP3 players, and stuff like that. So they tend to forget the simple pleasure of reading a good book. As for me, there's nothing better than sitting in an armchair with a book in my hands, enjoying pictures and feeling the smell of paper. Electronic books are convenient, but they lack presentation. My preference is for a paper book. I can throw it in my backpack, don't have to worry about batteries or power sources, and it's generally better for my eyes.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A-G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
British Airways, good morning. How can I help you?
Have you got any flights to Sydney next Sunday?
One moment, please. Unfortunately, we fly only to Canberra on Sundays. Will this suit you?
I've always wanted to visit Canberra, but my husband is going on a business trip to Sydney and he starts working there on Monday.
Then I can suggest Saturday. There are 2 flights on Saturday, at 6:15 a.m. and at 6:45 p.m.
That's fine. Could you tell me how much a return ticket costs? We'll be staying for a fortnight.
Would you like economy, business class or first class tickets?
Economy, please.
That would be £540 for the evening flight, while the morning flight is £100 cheaper.
Why is the price so different?
The evening flight is direct, whereas the morning flight has got a stopover. Which one would you like?
How long is the morning flight?
The flight departs at 6:15 a.m. and arrives in Sydney at 2 a.m. local time. Taking into account the difference in time, it will take about 12 hours altogether.
That's too long and very inconvenient as I have children travelling with me. I better choose the evening flight. Could I make a reservation?
Certainly. How many tickets do you need?
4. 2 adults and 2 children. Have you got any discounts for children?
Certainly, ma'am. How old are the children?
The elder is 8 and the younger is 4.
Could I have your name, please?
My name is Mary Jones. That's MaryJones.
How would you like to pay, Mrs. Jones?
Can I pay at the check-in desk when I pick up our tickets?
Yes, but you'll have to confirm this reservation at least 2 hours before departure time.
I see.
Now you have been booked, Mrs. Jones. The flight leaves at 6:45 in the evening, and your arrival in Sydney will be at 11:25 a.m. local time. The flight number is BA476.
Thank you very much.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
British Airways, good morning. How can I help you?
Have you got any flights to Sydney next Sunday?
One moment, please. Unfortunately, we fly only to Canberra on Sundays. Will this suit you?
I've always wanted to visit Canberra, but my husband is going on a business trip to Sydney and he starts working there on Monday.
Then I can suggest Saturday. There are 2 flights on Saturday, at 6:15 a.m. and at 6:45 p.m.
That's fine. Could you tell me how much a return ticket costs? We'll be staying for a fortnight.
Would you like economy, business class or first class tickets?
Economy, please.
That would be £540 for the evening flight, while the morning flight is £100 cheaper.
Why is the price so different?
The evening flight is direct, whereas the morning flight has got a stopover. Which one would you like?
How long is the morning flight?
The flight departs at 6:15 a.m. and arrives in Sydney at 2 a.m. local time. Taking into account the difference in time, it will take about 12 hours altogether.
That's too long and very inconvenient as I have children travelling with me. I better choose the evening flight. Could I make a reservation?
Certainly. How many tickets do you need?
4. 2 adults and 2 children. Have you got any discounts for children?
Certainly, ma'am. How old are the children?
The elder is 8 and the younger is 4.
Could I have your name, please?
My name is Mary Jones. That's MaryJones.
How would you like to pay, Mrs. Jones?
Can I pay at the check-in desk when I pick up our tickets?
Yes, but you'll have to confirm this reservation at least 2 hours before departure time.
I see.
Now you have been booked, Mrs. Jones. The flight leaves at 6:45 in the evening, and your arrival in Sydney will be at 11:25 a.m. local time. The flight number is BA476.
Thank you very much.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью с ученым. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
To bring us up to date with events at the Fukushima nuclear power plant, we're joined by Dr. Ian Farnan from the Department of Earth Sciences at Cambridge University.
Hello, Chris.
First of all, could you just give us a quick roundup on what you work on?
My main research is on the disposal of nuclear waste, and in particular, I'm going to head up a research consortium funded by the Nuclear Authority on disposing of spent nuclear fuel. The way that radioactivity leaks from spent nuclear fuel is by its interaction with water. Actually, radioactivity can leak out through broken pipes and other fractures. However, what's happening in Fukushima is the interaction of water with fresh fuel.
When the tsunami struck, it knocked out the backup generators, which were there to pump water through the core, and disabled those generators. What then unfolded?
Well, there was a little bit of extra leeway. The plant had some batteries which ran for a little while, for about 8 hours, and then they just ran out. At that point, they had no way of pumping the water through the reactor to keep it cool. So the water in the reactor started to boil, and eventually it came out to what's called a pressure regulator, which is below the reactor, in a large pit. The dramatic thing you saw on TV was the problem, that there must have been some interaction with the zirconium alloy, which started to get oxidized at high temperatures. The fuel heated up, and that produced some hydrogen. So there was a mixture of hydrogen gas in this big pit below the reactor. At some point, the pressure was getting too high, and the operators realized that in order to preserve the integrity of the reactor pressure vessel, they needed to vent that pit. When they did that, the hydrogen came out, and it obviously encountered some oxygen, and there was an explosion, and that's what you saw on TV.
But subsequent to that, what was then the threat? The fact that you had no way of cooling a nuclear core that was still producing quite a bit of heat.
Exactly. If you take the Daiichi 1, I think it was about 700 megawatts, so when the batteries ran out, the reactor was immediately shut down. But even though you stop the critical reaction at that point with the rods in, you still get 5% of the power. And that's the thermal power. So the thermal power reactor is 3 times the electrical power. That's just the efficiency of the generating process. So you have to keep a nuclear reactor cool after it shuts down. Now, what happened at Fukushima was that it went into what's called a station blackout, and people planned to get the power back in 4 or 5 hours. That didn't happen at Fukushima because the tidal wave was so great that it overwhelmed their diesels, and it overwhelmed something called service water too. But in any event, they couldn't get any power to the big pumps.
Could you compare the Chernobyl disaster and the Fukushima accident?
I have already said that it's worse than Chernobyl, and I'll stand by that. There was an enormous amount of radiation given out in the first 2 to 3 weeks of the event. And add the wind blowing inland, it could very well have brought the nation of Japan to its knees. I mean, there is so much contamination that it could have cut Japan in half. We are all well beyond where any science has ever gone at that point, and the accident at the Fukushima Daiichi plant is not a condition that anyone has ever analysed.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
To bring us up to date with events at the Fukushima nuclear power plant, we're joined by Dr. Ian Farnan from the Department of Earth Sciences at Cambridge University.
Hello, Chris.
First of all, could you just give us a quick roundup on what you work on?
My main research is on the disposal of nuclear waste, and in particular, I'm going to head up a research consortium funded by the Nuclear Authority on disposing of spent nuclear fuel. The way that radioactivity leaks from spent nuclear fuel is by its interaction with water. Actually, radioactivity can leak out through broken pipes and other fractures. However, what's happening in Fukushima is the interaction of water with fresh fuel.
When the tsunami struck, it knocked out the backup generators, which were there to pump water through the core, and disabled those generators. What then unfolded?
Well, there was a little bit of extra leeway. The plant had some batteries which ran for a little while, for about 8 hours, and then they just ran out. At that point, they had no way of pumping the water through the reactor to keep it cool. So the water in the reactor started to boil, and eventually it came out to what's called a pressure regulator, which is below the reactor, in a large pit. The dramatic thing you saw on TV was the problem, that there must have been some interaction with the zirconium alloy, which started to get oxidised at high temperatures. The fuel heated up, and that produced some hydrogen. So there was a mixture of hydrogen gas in this big pit below the reactor. At some point, the pressure was getting too high, and the operators realised that in order to preserve the integrity of the reactor pressure vessel, they needed to vent that pit. When they did that, the hydrogen came out, and it obviously encountered some oxygen, and there was an explosion, and that's what you saw on TV.
But subsequent to that, what was then the threat? The fact that you had no way of cooling a nuclear core that was still producing quite a bit of heat.
Exactly. If you take the Daiichi 1, I think it was about 700 megawatts, so when the batteries ran out, the reactor was immediately shut down. But even though you stop the critical reaction at that point with the rods in, you still get 5% of the power. And that's the thermal power. So the thermal power reactor is 3 times the electrical power. That's just the efficiency of the generating process. So you have to keep a nuclear reactor cool after it shuts down. Now, what happened at Fukushima was that it went into what's called a station blackout, and people planned to get the power back in 4 or 5 hours. That didn't happen at Fukushima because the tidal wave was so great that it overwhelmed their diesels, and it overwhelmed something called service water too. But in any event, they couldn't get any power to the big pumps.
Could you compare the Chernobyl disaster and the Fukushima accident?
I have already said that it's worse than Chernobyl, and I'll stand by that. There was an enormous amount of radiation given out in the first 2 to 3 weeks of the event. And add the wind blowing inland, it could very well have brought the nation of Japan to its knees. I mean, there is so much contamination that it could have cut Japan in half. We are all well beyond where any science has ever gone at that point, and the accident at the Fukushima Daiichi plant is not a condition that anyone has ever analysed.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.